This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
That you control. And 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. Free Talk Live is brought to you by libertyminded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear like t-shirts and hoodies are available at libertyminded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny liberty-oriented clothing at libertyminded.com. That's libertyminded.com. There's no dash or anything. I felt like I should mention that. It's a really good website. I got, just to test it all out, I got a hoodie, like a pullover hoodie that says Free Talk Live, a zip-up one, a one that says LRN.FM, a t-shirt, I mean, and then a t-shirt that says Free Talk Live. It's all good quality, and I'm really happy with all of them. I wore the LRN.FM one on one of the shows recently, but I forgot to mention that I was wearing it. And if you want to, maybe you want people to see your shirt and possibly want to know what it is, a conversation starter, if you want to spread the word about Free Talk Live, or if you just think it's cool and you want to show people that you're probably smarter than them, because what radio show do they listen to that is as smart as Free Talk Live? You can go to libertyminded.com. And
so this is just Free Talk Live stuff?
Well, no, actually. Libertyminded.com has all kinds of liberty stickers, t-shirts, stuff like that.
Really?
And so
I'm mainly seeing like Free Talk Live, crypto.
Yeah.
And then so, there's also a law enforcement.
Somebody was looking at, yeah, but it's not like bad. It's funny. It's like anti-law
enforcement. Yeah, yeah, no, yeah, that's why. Yeah, that's what I assumed it was.
So like somebody was showing me some the other day at a party that were funny, and I don't remember what they were, but there are some funny t-shirts on there. The one that I do remember said, "That's a great idea. You should do it." And it's such a, it's like a funny inside joke, kind of, if you're a libertarian who lives actually among other libertarians. You'll hear that all the time where people are like, "I have this idea for a business, blah, 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 blah." And a libertarian will always say to you, "That's a good idea. You should do it." As in, like, don't wait around for someone else to do it. You do it yourself. And, ugh, it gets so annoying. But it's so funny as, like, an inside joke. But with you in the studio tonight, I forgot to say, it's me, Bonnie.
Lori. And Nikki.
And before we got into the calls in the last segment, we were getting into virtue signaling about Gaza.
Yes.
And the types of people who want to tell you that it's your duty to bring up Gaza, which is so annoying.
So this is an article from Al Jazeera. Censorship is a crucial complement of genocide. This is why, as a genocide continues unabated in Gaza, we all have a responsibility to insert Palestine and Palestinians into every conversation.
Every, like, it'd be
every
one
single
thing,
one. Every single one.
It would be one thing if they said something like, "We have a responsibility to insert it to daily conversation," but every conversation, like, that's, yeah, so that you,
it's
like
so dramatic.
You're asking.
And the worst part
to get
is
made
like
fun of.
People are like actually doing that,
like going to the grocery store, like, "How are you today?" "Oh, I'm fine, but how are the people in Palestine?"
Yeah,
that'd be
and it's
weird.
Like the, like, shaming people for talking about anything else, it's just,
yeah,
I've really never seen anything like it. Mm-hmm. It's like it's exceptionally bad, but it's a trendy thing, right? Like, this isn't, I don't know, it's,
they're not
the
24
hour news
anything
cycle in real life.
It's crazy, but let's get into it. So, last month on BBC's flagship news program, Newsnight, author and journalist Howard Eric Jacobson complained that the Britain's public broadcaster had been showing too many images of Palestinian suffering in Gaza. He added that in televising Palestinian suffering in this way, BBC was, quote unquote, taking a side, and that while it was agonizing to see what is happening, there are reasons for it.
That's a little
so that
stupid.
Sounds like he's taking a side.
Yeah, he seems to be insulted that the horror being inflicted upon people is being showed to people like, hey, that might make them not support my side.
Yeah, that sounds, yeah, you're
That's
right.
kind of dumb.
So, and this was hardly the first expression of this sentiment. A few weeks prior, a discussion was underway on the professional networking platform LinkedIn on whether there were too many Israel/Palestine posts on that site and whether this should be, and whether this should change. Many responded that it should. They wanted people to stop talking about Palestinians being starved, bombed, and buried under the rubble. And I can kind of get both sides of this. Like, yeah, I think obviously what's going on is absolutely awful. But I just don't think talking about it and like bombarding people with these like really gruesome, triggering images is going to end the war.
Yeah.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, we should... It's misplaced blame. Like, there are people attacking people, like, other people. Like, there are militaries attacking people on the Gaza Strip. I am not doing that.
Right. And that's one thing... That's one reason I just don't go watch the news all the time. Like, my dad, today, yeah. I was on the phone with my dad, and he was saying, you really need to start watching Redacted, just this news organization that he likes, because he said that they agree with a lot of stuff I agree with, and that may be true, but I told him, like, listen, I don't watch news.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I don't
either. Go search for someone I need to, or I naturally run into it in real life, or in conversations, but I don't just watch the news. That's a bad thing to do.
I remember several,
help.
Yeah, for you, absolutely. I remember, this is probably like close to 10 years ago now, but I'm sure it's probably the same. My grandparents, when I would go to visit them, they would watch like the local news, like Channel 6, whatever, local news. And it would be like, oh, people got shot in Boston. And you know what I mean? It was just like all of this drama, fear mongering. Yeah, just like very negative, low vibe stuff that was just being spewed at them. And it would, like, I don't know, it was just so awful and uncomfortable. And even sometimes when I'm looking for show prep for the show, it's, if you just go, like, a mainstream news tab, it's, like, shootings, murder, blah, 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 blah. And it's, like, nothing of, like, real substance. I don't I know, it just, it feels like there's very much an agenda to what they're spewing. I'm like, are really this many people getting shot? Because in my communities, I'm not seeing that.
Right.
So,
and it's just like, it sucks and everything, but how is that really news that someone died? You know, like,
yeah, like, why do I need to be bombarded with that? Like, that's just gonna, and I wonder why antidepressant sales are skyrocketed.
I think people are addicted to feeling that negative feeling.
Maybe, yeah. Or like, same with like the drama, like reality TV and stuff. They're like living vicariously through these people, but that, those, like, the stress you feel from that is absolutely real, and those cortisol levels have a negative effect on your body.
I had to meditate and like do this thing where I allow myself to feel the feelings and allow myself to feel them leave. Not because I was watching a reality TV show, because I haven't in a long time because of like those exact reasons, but because during the Oscars, Lana Del Rey was so snubbed and then annoyingly brought onto the stage by Taylor Swift, and there was just so much to talk about. And then Taylor Swift she also disrespected Celine Dion. She disrespected like two of the best singers in the entire universe at once, and I hate Taylor Swift. I was getting so worked up about this, especially with my friend who also loves Taylor Swift. I had to like detox and stop looking at my phone for like a day.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being addicted to those feelings, because they're not good and they don't freaking matter. They're people that ultimately it doesn't matter, and it's probably all set up on purpose. I can't imagine something being more scripted to annoy me and my best friend who love Taylor's love Lana Del Rey and hate Taylor Swift and love Celine Dion, and she was like a surprise. It was crazy. It was so annoying. And so like you might not know what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter. Just whatever your like 9/11 would be, that happened to me on this year's Oscars. And I was so annoyed.
So many patriots are going to be very offended by that statement.
Colin, if 9/11 is worse than Taylor Swift being rude to Celine Dion. But...
oh my gosh.
Anyways, I just can't imagine being addicted to those feelings. But by the same time, I almost can, because all day for like 24 hours, me and my friend were like, oh yeah, and this. Oh yeah, and then did you see this? And like, it was like, it's a weirdly addictive feeling to be addicted to that negative, like, I'm so hard done by feeling.
Well, and like, there's that gossip aspect of it too. So like, where your friend was also in that state, you guys, it was like almost like something you were bonding over.
Yeah.
And I think, negative bonding.
Yeah. Like, I think that, like, or like trauma bonding, like a lot of people will do that too. So I think it almost like brings people together. And now with like, with the internet, people can kind of fall into these like channels on the internet where they can just complain about the same things or be triggered by the same things. And it's like sort of like an echo chamber sort of thing that they enjoy.
Right, and they're addicted to the outrage. And like they're, people watch these 24-hour news channels 24 hours a day. They just have it on their TV playing
in the background
all day long. And that's all they hear is all this negative input.
Like subliminal messaging.
And then they stack these parasocial relationships on top of it with these hosts they see all the time that they think are, you know, like their guy. That's my guy.
Like Kim Kardashian would like you if she met in real life.
Yeah. Like
met in real life.
He feels all the same things I feel because he told me to feel those things for the last 6 weeks that I've been watching this thing 24 hours a day.
So strange.
Brainwashed.
So the article continues to say, it may seem odd that some people like Jacobson are acknowledging the massive levels of suffering in Gaza, but in the same breath, demanding the world hears less about it. I mean, I kind of feel that way too. But this is not at all surprising. Censorship has always been a necessary complement of genocide. I don't think that's censorship. I think that is just... in like there needs to be relevant conversations, right? So like say you go to work, you work at some office job. If you are in a meeting talking about a specific aspect of your job and then you constantly are bringing up Gaza and war and Palestine, I mean, yes, like we're all aware that those things are happening, but that is going to bring a halt to productivity in the workplace if all, you know what I mean? And same with LinkedIn. It's like, on the LinkedIn platform, why is that even coming up?
The thing that annoys me about this, like one of my good friends posted one of those images on her Instagram story that said, if you're not talking about Gaza, being silent is being complicit, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And the thing that annoys me about it is like there are terrible things going on every day and you never seem to like go crazy over like my husband being unjustly in jail.
Yeah.
Not that I want her to, but it's just like, why this? Why so, this one specific thing?
People were told to be outraged about it and they're virtue signaling.
And they think they look cool. Yeah, that's exactly
what the thing.
Virtue
signaling is. Someone told them, and that's that person parroting verbatim what someone else said.
Yeah.
You know, it was the same thing on Instagram years ago for Black Lives Matter. You did like a black
square.
Like a blacked out square.
Yeah, because
and if you didn't
did something.
If you didn't do that though, people and you were say you had a company. A business, they would boycott you, they would cancel you. So it's just this like weird like puppy following mentality where people just can't have any sort of free thought and they just have to continuously go along
they have to
with whatever the thing is.
Herd think.
Yeah, absolutely.
They all want to be part of the tribe.
So a lot has been said and written about Israel's refusal to allow foreign journalists to enter freely into Gaza to cover the genocide and its targeted attacks on Palestinian journalists who are there risking life and limb to show the world the reality of what is being done to their people. But even the journalists who are thousands of miles away from the Palestinian enclave have been punished for daring to talk about the genocide. And again, like, I just feel like I'm starting to get bored with this article. But again, it's not that people shouldn't talk about it ever. Like, I do think that, like, news and journalism is very important. We get on this show and we talk about things that we think are important. Not all of it is super positive. We talk about police brutality. We talk about war. We talk about all of these things. But I just think there's a time and a place, and this person is kind of like misinterpreting what a normal, because it sounds like the journalist they're talking about, what was his name, Howard Eric Jacobson, it sounds like that guy is a normal person and is like, okay, like, there's a time and a place to talk about it, and you guys are overdoing it, and it's not helping, and it's just really disturbing and disruptive. Like, we don't need to be bombarded with really gruesome graphic photos of people, like, dying in war zones. That's not normal for, like, or, like, beneficial for the human psyche. And while what's going on is absolutely terrible, I just think it's too much, and there's a time and a place for it, and to... It just really...
It's like, if you have an ability to do something about something, it matters more for you to be talking about it. If you have no ability... That's the thing. Like, a lot of people who end up activists, they end up learning this lesson. Like, you have talked about it a lot with veganism, how you used to be, oh, everyone needs to hear about this. Why haven't more people... I did the same thing with police brutality to the point where my friends in real life were telling me, like, seriously, like, it makes me not want to be friends with you on Facebook. Like, I don't want to see that all the time. Yeah. And I'm just like, but it's really important. Everybody needs to hear it. But, like, in reality, it's like, I didn't have the ability to change anything. And also, it was actually negatively affecting me to be thinking about it all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was way before 2020. Yeah. Way before 2020. I got called racist for saying that we should abolish the police in 2016.
Yeah, and like, isn't that ironic?
That's the thing, too, is like, with the constant battering of all these things, people are going to get fatigued by it. And they're going to stop caring.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of people are at with, you know, I mean, first it was, you know, the war in Ukraine, right? Then now it's the Gaza Strip where it's like people are, and that's like a real like cognitive thing where they're fatigued by it. And it's like, it starts to mean nothing. Mm-hmm. So, which is sad because it means something. Like something really horrible is going on. And I just think that these people are like really taking the wrong approach because, you know, you'll see it on Instagram where you like see a post, some comments, and then someone's like Palestine and that's it. Or people are being, you know, murdered in Palestine. You know what I mean? Like that's their comment. And it's like, what is that helping? Like you're commenting on a post about shoes.
Right.
And also trying to shame the person. Like, you're really going to post a happy video about shoes while people are dying in Palestine?
Yeah, like we all have to be silly. Miserable. And it's like, listen.
It's all about themselves feeling better than the other people.
It's like, so the virtual signaling or like that hero complex.
Yeah.
And it's like, listen, people every day are being sold into sex trafficking. People are out, like, people are being murdered everywhere. There are different wars going on. I mean, the Middle East.
Ukraine is still going on.
Yeah, and the Middle East has been never not been at war for like, you know, the entire existence of, you know, humanity.
Yeah, I was honestly shocked. I made friends with a guy from Palestine. He's been here for like 10 years now. Or I said Palestine, I meant to say Pakistan.
Yeah.
When I first moved to New Hampshire. And I was shocked to hear him talking about how, like, when he was a kid, there were multiple times there he was, like, leaving a heavily populated area, and a huge bomb went off, like, behind him and his family.
Yeah.
I was like, it was just being bombed? Because I didn't know that there were, you know, like, it wasn't declared as a war. There's just always war going on in a lot of those areas.
It's constant.
Like, you don't hear about it on the news, but, like, people are constantly getting bombed by, like, different sections of Islam, different sections of different Indian religions in the Middle East and in near India. And I guess Pakistan is South Asia, actually. I don't think it's Middle East, but, you know, whatever. Like, all those types of countries.
Yeah, it's, like, right around the same area, yeah.
And Israel, so even, like, Christianity and Judaism and Muslims fighting there. And also in like Africa, it's not even about, I don't think it's as much about religion there.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like horrible things are constantly going on. And I just don't think it's productive or beneficial to like constantly be depressed about it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, I feel so grateful and so lucky that I have the opportunities that I do. And I think maybe that would be like a more positive shift for these people is like shift into like instead of like the guilt, shift into like gratitude. Like I'm so grateful that I have these opportunities that I don't live in a war zone.
Yeah.
And that I can just exist because I just don't think that the guilt that these people it's misplaced too. It's like, I didn't murder anybody. Like, I didn't do anything wrong, so why should I feel guilty? It's the same thing with the what is the race, the critical race theory? That thing where you're supposed to, like, be
feel
ashamed.
Bad about being white.
Yeah, it's like, why? I didn't do anything to anybody. Like, oh, your ancestors might have had slaves. They might have. Maybe they didn't, but, like, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
Why am I being punished for something some guy that I may or may not be related to did, like, 200 years ago? That's just so ridiculous.
Yeah, I would never put, like, my kids through that in public school. That's definitely a big thing that people fight over in, like, the house in New Hampshire, the, like, New Hampshire house. Another thing about it is just, like, the lack of principle. Like, these people aren't against war. A lot of them are not against war. They just are against the thing that, like we've said, they've been told to be against. And they wouldn't know at all what started this. They aren't going to look into it. And I'm not one of those people who is even like, oh, it's way more complicated than you could possibly know. I think it's pretty freaking simple that people shouldn't kill each other. It's pretty freaking simple. It's just the fact that, like, they probably didn't even know what Palestine was. They had to Google it. And now all of a sudden I'm supposed to believe that this is, like, your number one thing. But the thing is, like, if you don't have a principle in being... you know, like, I am always against murder and war and death and destruction. Seems pretty simple. Like, most people probably think they are. Well, are you using the U.S. dollar? What else are you doing to fund war? You know, but using the U.S. dollar literally funds the war machine that the United States uses to go kill people in the Middle East and wherever else, wherever they want to go next. Apparently, there's U.S. troops in Taiwan at the border of China right now. I don't know what they're going to do. Hopefully nothing. But I just think that if you don't already have the principles in place, you can just be told to support whatever side.
Yeah, I was having a discussion with somebody on Facebook who was saying, like, we need to, like, talk to our local representatives about ceasefire in Gaza, whatever. And they're like, it's your responsibility. And I'm like, well, I didn't, it's, like, really not my responsibility. Right. And they're like, well, taxes. And I'm like, well, I mean, but wouldn't the logical thing to be like, okay, stop using the US dollar, stop paying taxes. Like, those things would do more. Like, that is, like, an action. Like, instead of just, like, saying something, that's like a legitimate action to try to stop what is going on. And it's just such a weird stance to be like, well, it's your responsibility.
I can't do anything about it.
Yeah. And it's also like, okay, I'm going to call a state rep that lives in New Hampshire.
They can't do anything about it.
Wait, what are they going to do?
Right.
What are they going to do about what's going on in Palestine and Israel?
I saw a story today about how they're supposed to get these weapons that they're sending over approved by Congress, but they've been sending through a loophole just under the amount where they have to have it approved each time so that they can just do it anyway.
Yeah, what a joke.
Yeah.
603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call to bring up whatever's on your mind. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live coming up.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
U.S. USA News Update. Former President Trump can challenge the ruling permitting Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis to continue overseeing his Georgia election interference case. A judge has approved a request from defense lawyers to seek a review of the decision from the state's appellate court. Last week, a judge decided that Willis could stay on the case, provided Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade was replaced. According to the State Department, efforts are underway to evacuate Americans stranded in Haiti by helicopter. This development coincides with a surge in gang violence in Haiti. The State Department has reported nearly 1,000 Americans currently in Haiti. Michael Cohen's request to terminate his supervised release ahead of schedule has been rejected by a judge who found probable perjury in his actions. Cohen sought to lift his release, scheduled to conclude in November, citing his testimony in former President Trump's civil fraud case. John Schaefer, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
You control. 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. Are you tired of the oppressive rules and moderation of the big tech social media sites? Our Mastodon server at social.freetalklive.com can set you free. Mastodon is free, open source, decentralized, and federated. Multiple apps are available for iOS, Android, Windows, Mac, and Linux. Social.freetalklive.com. And with you on Free Talk Live today, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Nikki.
And this, according to the Wall Street Journal, Gen Z is America's most disillusioned group as far as voting is concerned. Hmm. And I think that's actually a really great and amazing thing. Colin is also on Wednesdays with us sometimes, and he is always claiming that he thinks millennials are the most libertarian group. And I'm not saying that this necessarily equates to being libertarian, but it does seem that they trust the government less than any other generation, according to these studies.
Yeah.
So, and that's honestly, every time Colin says that, I'm like, I really don't see that about your generation. I'm supposed to be the last year of millennial, but I reject that. It's not because I don't like millennials. It just doesn't apply to me. But Gen Z doesn't 100% apply to me either.
I think the whole generation thing is just so dumb. I feel like people like talk about it a lot. You know, breaking up age groups, like that makes sense to a certain extent. But I feel like sometimes people get a little too into it where they're like, millennials blank.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but like we're talking about millions of people here. It's hard to produce blanket statements. And of course, you know, we can go into the statistics of it and say like, okay, well, this age group is more likely to be this, you know, whatever.
I also think you would just relate more to your generation if you're born smack dab in the middle. But yeah. I can't. I'm nothing like a millennial who was born in the 80s.
Right.
And I'm also nothing like a Gen Zer who was born like 2010. Like,
that's the thing. It's too big of an age gap.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a millennial. You're a millennial. Nowhere near each other in age. Like, we didn't grow up with the same experiences.
Yeah, I grew up with the internet.
And me and Bonnie are, what, 2 years apart? And we're in different generations?
Supposedly,
it just doesn't make sense.
You graduated high school before me, and I'm supposedly a millennial, and you're Gen Z.
Yeah.
It's so annoying. It's not because I want to be the younger one either, although that would be nice. The other day, I ran into a group. I keep telling people this story because it was so wholesome and funny and cute. But so there was a man, he opened the elevator, but he was like, you guys all go in, and it was like a soccer team of like 13-year-old girls, and I was the same height as all of them, and I just like kind of camouflaged with them and went ahead, and I said to them when the door shut, I was like, I just like blended in with you guys to get in here, and they were like they were just giggling, and then they're like, we're all sisters, and I was like, really? And they were like laughing so hard. They're like, no, no, I wish. And I was just like, I'm more gullible than 20, 13-year-old girls. I don't know why I completely believed them. I guess I'm too trusting. But I just say that because I was thinking, wow, they're the same height as me. That's all. And they're probably Gen Z. And they probably think I'm a silly boomer.
Yeah, right.
I believed them for that.
They're like, haha.
Yeah, we got the boomer. Anyways, Gen Z is supposedly the most disillusioned group of voters, and I can't think of anything except that being a good thing. The subtitle here says, young adults are more skeptical of government and pessimistic about the future. That part seems a little bad. Being pessimistic about the future doesn't seem like a good thing, but...
it's hard not to be.
Maybe they're smarter because of that. Callie Gaddy was a college senior when the pandemic abruptly upended her life plans. Wait, how the heck is she Gen Z? I better be considered Gen Z because I was not a high school senior. But then again, I meant to say college senior. But then again, people like go in early and like your friend that was a master's degree or at least bachelor's at 21. Yeah, so I don't know. Anyways, Callie Gowdy was a college senior when the pandemic abruptly upended her life plans and made her part of a big and deeply unhappy political force that figures to play a huge role in the 2024 election season. Her graduation was postponed, and that's so sad, so she was let go from her college job and her summer internship got canceled. She spent the final months of school taking online classes from her parents' house. You would think that there's a plan B or a safety net, she said, but there's actually not. Today, Gaddy, 25, works as an office manager in Atlanta, earning less than $35,000 a year. In her spare time, she uploads videos to TikTok, where she's amassed thousands of followers. Now that's at risk of being taken away, too. Yeah, that sucks. They're trying to make China either sell TikTok to the U.S. or they will ban it in the U.S.
Why?
Their whole thing is, oh, well, it's basically owned by China, so China is getting data about American citizens from it. And it's ridiculous. I think it's ultimately a money grab.
Yeah.
Americans want to own TikTok, obviously. So the thing isn't like they want to make an American buy it. It's that it must be sold to someone other than the Chinese government. But I think that just sounds... There are already, like, huge groups that are like, we're interested in buying it. It seems like there's somebody who was chosen to get to buy it. I really hope that doesn't go through, but I mean, the bill might not go through at all. But apparently Biden is in favor of it. really, really weird thing. Biden and Trump are both in favor of this stealing TikTok or forcing the TikTok. The thing is, there is a thing called, and I can't remember what it's called, like Big Byte, something like that, that owns Dance Byte or something like that, that owns TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
But every company in China is basically owned by China. So their whole thing is, oh, well, it has to be sold to a company that isn't, you know, like controlled by China because you're basically giving your data to China, which is should be people's choice.
Isn't every company cares? In America kind of just owned by the United States government?
Yeah. If it's a corporation.
Yeah. So what's the difference?
They're just hypocrites.
Yeah, okay.
So they're done. It says, now that's at risk of being taken away too. All of this has left her dejected and increasingly skeptical of politicians.
Well, yeah.
Well, as she should be.
Yeah, I agree. Hopefully it's not in the wrong for the wrong reasons. It says, young adults in Generation Z, those born in 1997 or after, have emerged from the pandemic feeling more disillusioned than any living generation before them. According to long-running surveys and interviews with dozens of young people around the country, they worry they'll never make enough money to attain the security previous generations have achieved, which is kind of like a skill issue, like don't sit around worrying
about
also,
that. I mean, that's pretty valid with the state of the economy.
Like inflation, you know what I mean?
And stuff. Yeah.
But I worry never helps anything.
Yeah.
Citing their delayed launch into adulthood, which that's completely valid, actually, because I was like, you know what, I'm finally gonna, like, things all worked out for me totally fine, but I could have been pretty annoying because I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go to college, and I sign up for college. Oh, yeah, that's another reason this person would be a senior, because I started super freaking late, like, 4 years, 3 years out of high school. Yeah, that all adds up now. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to go to college, and I signed up, and I was actually getting excited. I was like, you know, I'll go to a campus, it was just going to be community college, and, like, maybe meet people, and, like, actually be in a class again, that might be, and then, like, the pandemic happened, that was really annoying, actually, and they were going to make me take classes online for IT, I mean, I did it for half a semester, and then I quit, because I met Mr. Penguin, or a former show host, he's still does the show sometimes, and he told me you can learn anything about IT on YouTube. So I was like,
that's funny, that's why you dropped out of college.
I was already thinking about it too, because the girl who I was like sharing a room with at the time dropped out of college, and she was always like on the phone talking to her dad about it, and she's like, you know, I just feel so free, I just feel like, I was like, that sounds great. And it just was like somebody mentioned one thing, I was like, I'm doing it. Like,
yeah.
One like and I'll drop out of college.
I was actually just talking about that the other day, how you can learn anything mm-hmm. online, or even say you wanted to go to college. You can just go walk into a college lecture and sit down.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you can, but you just don't get any
diploma.
Like credit for it.
Right.
Wow. But what is the value of the credit? And that's right. Why it's so, because so many people will like.
The knowledge is what's valuable.
I would have thought they would like try to kick you out. No. I've never heard
no,
of
they
that.
Don't care. Yeah. And
they don't take attendance, you know, you just go in and sit down and take your class.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Especially like with the bigger schools where it's like there's like hundreds of people. They mm-hmm. don't know. They don't know who's in there.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Right.
I have never heard that, because recently I've been thinking like, oh, it'd be kind of fun to take a college class about, like, I don't even know if Keene State has like
right there, just you
certain
know,
things, but
look up the schedule.
So we do have a caller on the line, Dave Ridley from New Hampshire. Dave, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Yeah, that's record turnaround. I don't think I was on hold for more than 10 seconds.
Nice. I'm glad.
So I have a concern regarding the setup at the TSA checkpoint in Boston Logan Airport near New Hampshire.
Oh, Bradley Logan, isn't that? Are you mixing or am I mixing things up?
Boston is Logan. Yeah.
Oh, Boston's called Logan. Okay, so the Boston Airport. What's wrong with the setup of the TSA there?
Well, this is the one next to the United Terminal, and I've run into this, I guess, two or three times. I fly back to Colorado Springs sometimes, and the. So the way they've got it set up, when you leave the United kiosks, it's not United Terminal, but United kiosks, you wind up walking toward the TSA checkpoint, right? And so they have a little place where people can enter the checkpoint. Oh, but only if they're TSA approved, you know, or what, early check or whatever, pre-check, whatever they call it.
Pre-check, yeah, something
and,
like that.
Yeah, so no problem. I guess I'll just go into the normal line. Oh, To get to the normal line, you have to walk an eighth of a mile. So you wind up walking all the way around. You walk past the checkpoint, and then you just keep walking, and the checkpoint gets further and further behind you, and eventually you're allowed to turn around and come back toward the checkpoint. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so is this organized, or I'm trying to think of the word, separated by these little ropes, and they won't let you go under the little ropes kind of thing?
Well, if it had ropes, I would have gone under the ropes.
Oh,
but
yeah.
What it has instead is like an Olympic hurdle you have to jump over.
Wow.
If you want to take the shortcut, right?
That's terrible.
And hardly anyone, there's oftentimes not that many people, and there'll be like, you know, 10 or 20 people in line, but the line is, it's like it's set up for 1,000 people, right? So when you're not dealing with a large number of people, you could just go straight over the checkpoint. Instead, no, go this way. Even if you're using a cane, even if you're using a wheelchair, go all the way around this thing and then come back, right? So for once, I don't usually do this when I'm traveling, but I went ahead and whipped out a camera and did a bunch of ambush interviews with various TSA people who just happened to be in front of me. And so you can just watch the video and just see for yourself, you know, a little bit about how far the walk is and how they reacted to my questions about it.
So you ask, do they have any like sense of self-responsibility, or are they just saying like, oh, well, it's not in our hands. We didn't set it up, blah, blah, blah.
Well, first of all, to their credit, they didn't threaten me over filming. They didn't. They didn't respond in a hostile manner to me when I started questioning them. One of the bureaucrats said, that's not our thing. I can't remember if he said it was United's fault or the airport's fault. He said, quote unquote, we don't have a problem. I think they do. I mean, it's inconvenient for me to walk around it. And I've observed it 3 times now. And, you know, what happens to people who have mobility issues or people who are late for their flight?
What's even the reason? What would be the reason? Like, just so they can have a longer line? It seems pretty stupid.
The way a lot of airports are set up is just really stupid, and it doesn't make sense.
It probably has something to do with government being involved with these corporations. Is that all you had for us, Ridley?
That's it.
Thank you for your call. You can go to RidleyReport.com and look up his videos he referenced there of his interviews of the TSA agents. We have another caller on the line, unscreened caller. You're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Thanks for taking my my call. What's on my mind has to do with what you were talking about prior to the TSA setup here, and that's with the whole COVID and how it kind of affected you know, a couple plans that, you know, young people had.
Yeah.
When they were in school. So, yeah. So, fortunately, I was done with education many years before this, you know, the whole Fauci gate thing started. But I can attest, working in industries, I do seem to see, like, some sort of, like, you know, effects of COVID. Not so much related to this girl's plans, but I want to say, like, intellectually, from an IQ perspective, it's really bad. It's like it's dipped. A lot of these people seem to, you know, game the system. What does that mean? Basically, they seem to study for the interview. Well, you ask them something spontaneous, meaning off, you know, the top of your head, they freeze and they can't critically think.
Wow.
And so critical thinking, right, is like something that, you know, comes to you through trial and error, but eventually if you stick with it, like, you get it. And critical thinking applies to everything you do in your life, not just in school. But when this whole Fauci thing started, you know, classes from your parents' house or, you know, wherever, you had access to the internet, what did that introduce? You know, it introduced the high likelihood or possibilities of cheating and whatnot. And so I think, you know, 4 years later, right, which is hard to believe, 4 years after this Fauci-gate nonsense, you start to see the effect of these young people that are now, you know, something along the lines of 22, 23, 24, and trying to get into the labor force. And unfortunately for some, you know, they might be able to game the system, but we find out, you know, a couple months later that this person is not who we kind of thought they were.
Is it, like, possibly, like, they're using AI to try to do their work? Or do you ever find that?
It's a combination, especially now with the boom, right, of the open AI and mm-hmm. And so forth. But even before, it was just a matter of, you know, just using the internet and not really using your mind. No, fair game. The real world, you use your mind and the internet. But the skill of critical thinking is, you know, using your own brain.
What kind of industry have you seen this in, if you don't mind saying?
Yeah, so this is in the applied mathematical finance or economics. What does this basically mean? Basically, the job that we do is help clients identify risk in numerous portfolios, and this has to do with, like, you know, likelihood of default and how much they'd be on the hook if suddenly, you know, people started defaulting. And so what we do that requires critical thinking is a lot of stats. And so stats, you know, it's taught, and it comes to you over time. You start to realize what sort of methods, techniques, procedures are appropriate in the area of finance or economics. It should be natural to you, and that's just because the way that the education system used to be, right? You used to get a series of problem sets. The professors used to make these exams very difficult and made you fail, but they curved. But at the end of the day, it's so that you actually learn, you know, these difficult concepts and get a good general idea how to apply them in the real world. Now you still have that system, but now you have, you know, a bunch of tools to kind of, you know, eliminate that critical thinking that used to be required. Not to say that they don't think today, but what I'm saying is, with the access of, you know, the internet introduced in a bunch of exams or hybrid courses, online courses, you know, the revolution of AI, these guys are just pumping in, hey, what do I do here? And sometimes the AI is good, sometimes it's not. You know, sometimes the internet, some random forum is good, sometimes it's not. But it definitely does not beat old school, you know, critical thinking, which requires a lot of, you know, effort on the individual. And so all this to say, you know, I really do feel that this Fauci gate, as I like to call it, did a lot of things that were really bad, not just to young people, but to people in general, mental health. And, you know, from an IQ perspective, it just introduced a lot of likelihood of, you know, at least in education, like I was saying, just using things that really eliminate critical thinking. And so it's an unfortunate thing to see. And unfortunately, you know, this Fauci character, nowhere to be heard these days, which is ironic. True. And if you mention his name and you mention anything that I just said, or what the previous discussion was all about, you know, unfortunately, you get called a Trumper, or, you know, anti-science guy, or, you know, something like this. But I think, you know, this is a terrible thing he's done.
And that's a good point. That does affect, like, everyone, not just the young people who went through losing their ability to think critically. It affects everyone, because, like, if I wanted somebody to be watching out for my portfolios, I'd want them to be able to think critically and not just try to game the system, like you're saying. That's something I hadn't really thought about, that young people might be doing more of that just because of the fact that they were able to get through school that way. That's actually pretty scary to think of, that people who are actually, you know, doing jobs that affect other people and the economy and people's bank accounts or whatever, like other jobs too, might just be unable to actually think for themselves and, you know, solve problems. I've definitely seen it just in, like, service industry. I think people are just lazier now and care less about other people. I've seen that people have become more antisocial. And thank you so much for the call. Caller, is very interesting subject. I hadn't really thought of it, because, like, a lot of times I do feel I think a lot about how the young people's lives were ruined during COVID, because it happened to me. I was 23 when it started, and or maybe even 22 when it started, but it was not a good time for me. But it has affected people's lives in general, just because of the way that it affected society. And that has a lot to do with what we were talking about even at the beginning of the show. If the IQ drops in a country, that's, like, a terrible thing for everyone involved, because like we were saying, if you are really low IQ, you're going to be having a lot harder time empathizing with people and being productive. And I just think the Fauci nonsense, the COVID measures, because in general, it wasn't actually COVID, the disease, that did that kind of stuff to people.
Of course not.
It was the measures the government put in place, quote unquote, due to COVID.
I think that the internet has caused, not even just for young people, but for people in general, a lot of intellectual laziness.
Hmm. Yeah.
Like they just scroll TikTok or whatever and just watch videos and don't think and don't do anything.
Yeah. Well, even in regards to schooling, one of my friends still has a younger cousin that is in high school.
Hmm.
And she, I forget what subject it was, but I think it might have been math or something. I don't know. But essentially she was telling her like, oh, well, yeah, like everyone just cheats in high school now. Like it has never been easier. Like no one does any work. You can implement AI. She's like, oh, like I wish I could remember more of the context. But she was, oh, I guess so my friend recently went back to college and was like, oh, wow, this thing is so hard. And her little cousin was like, what do you mean? Just ChatGPT it.
Wow.
And she was like, oh my gosh, I would have never thought of that, because she's like, the last time I was in school, that wasn't a thing. Like, that didn't even exist. But it's kind of sad that, I mean, I'm sure all of the high schoolers are doing that nowadays.
It makes sense when you're only going to school to get a diploma or a degree to cheat. It makes sense, honestly. But if you're actually there to learn, it makes no sense to think
to use AI. Yeah, but there's really nothing to learn in high school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely high school.
Yeah, public schools aren't teaching you anything useful. Yeah. Like, maybe when you're a little kid and you're learning your ABCs and how to count and all that stuff.
Yeah, but I think people...
you could just teach that to
the kids
yourself.
They're failing the kids at that anyway. They're doing a pretty bad job at it anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So, it is kind of sad. I mean, it is just like a massive waste of time.
I mean, even for the longest time, what is the percentage of people who graduate high school illiterate?
It's like really 5. High. It's like 20%.
It's crazy.
It's really crazy. It's
and I'm not surprised by that.
Functionally illiterate. Yeah. Oh, and I learned more about what that means. So I was like, how do people drive if they can't read the word stop? But really, it's they can read words, but if you get them to read too many concepts in a paragraph, they can't keep track of who's talking, what's going on.
No reading comprehension.
Wow. Oh, jeez.
603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. Who listens to radio at night? EMTs? Truck drivers? Law enforcement? And many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.